Welcome to Show Me the Way, Episode 3. Today we will be talking with my special guest, Joe Sewer of Wilbert Funeral Services, and how he went from plans literally laid out on his kitchen table through his journey of acquiring over 80 businesses and ultimately the sale of his business to a public company. Good afternoon again, listeners. It's Dave Sider calling all citizens, well, those people that are able to access the broadcast throughout the United States. This is Show Me the Way that deals with those individuals interested in the next phase of their business, either jumping into it, jumping out, business succession planning, and possibly the use of M&As. I am very fortunate to be able to call upon a gentleman I've known for a long time, Joe Sewer of Wilbert Funeral Services. He will be sharing his thoughts about his experiences in growing his business, if I may, Joe, from the kitchen table, because I remember you saying your first start in the business, you had to mortgage your house, to the success that you have. And I do hope that you'll share where the business is now and what's happened to you over the last few years. Again, this podcast is sponsored by Spencer Fain, LLP. It is about business succession planning, the merger and acquisition experience. And Joe, I do appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with listeners your lifelong experience. A big part of it is through mergers and acquisition. But for me, in knowing you, it is, quote, the plan, close quote, that you put in place some time ago. But before we jump into it, let's talk a little bit about Joe. Would you share with the audience a little bit of your background, how you got into the business? You know, I'm thinking about the story that you shared with me about getting out of the Army and Louisiana until, frankly, 2022 and what your future looks like. Could you share a little bit of that with us, please?
Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to be here, Dave.
Thank you.
And I'd love to share some of my thoughts on, I guess, my life in the business world. I worked for a company here in Kansas City back in the mid-80s for 2 years, and shortly thereafter had the opportunity to help run the company for a family, privately owned company in the second generation. And 2 years after that, the owner came in and said, "Would you like to buy the business?" Just one day walked into the office. I chuckled just as you're doing now, and I went home that night. And he came back the next day and he was rather offended that I didn't respond because I really didn't think he was interested. Mm. And that opportunity was before me. So that's how it started. And through help with the number of individuals I know in the Kansas City market, accounting firm, some investment bankers, we put together a plan, a leveraged buyout in those days. And I learned quickly what a leveraged buyout meant and had the opportunity to acquire the company. So that was back in 1986.
So you made a jump in 86 from being an employee to a business owner. At the time you made the jump, did you see yourself owning a business or did you see yourself as always being an employee somehow?
Well, I saw opportunities. That's why I went with this company because I guess they were elderly and didn't really have a succession plan in place. Mm-hmm. And the third generation didn't have any interest in it. So I guess I had some thought about the opportunity to buy it, but it came faster than what I anticipated. And I really had no background in acquiring companies.
Tell us a little bit about the business. It was not called Wilbert Funeral Services back then. What was the business? What did it become?
The family business was Wilbert Operations. They were licensees of a Chicago-based company that went back 100 years, really.
Oh, wow.
And they were one of the largest licensees. And when I acquired them, I changed over to Sewer Industries because we thought we would be expanding to other operations. And we grew by way of acquisition. Possibly 5 years into that ownership, I knew I basically had to get bigger or get out. The opportunities presented having a larger footprint in the United States and multiple locations had a lot of efficiency written all over it. So we started acquisitions.
So you say you had to get bigger or get out. What was it, competitive pressures? Was it the ability to have a price differential that made sense in the marketplace? What were the pressures?
It was price differential. And the economies of scale, like I guess people do in all industries, but the manufacturing plants are very expensive with batch operation crane systems. And we were almost a trucking company as much as we were a manufacturer of concrete products. So the bigger we got, the more price breaks we got in acquiring the fleet and also other products that we use. So that helped out.
Excellent. Let's start with the first acquisition. And to give some context, I'd like to start with the first one, but to give some context, how many acquisitions do you think you have accomplished over the last, 36 years? Is that right?
I stopped counting at 80.
Okay. So,
so it didn't make a difference after that.
Do you have like a doctorate then in M&As, more or less? So looking back, what were the strategies that you had? I mean, granted, you knew about the business, but you'd never done an M&A before, needless to say. How did you go about tackling that project?
Call upon experts in the industry. Leverage buyout, it was owner carryback. Westinghouse Business Credit entered that small market at that point in time. So you can imagine what the interest rates were in the mid-80s. Then owner carryback had mezzanine level financing. So there was a lot that came into play. One thing, too, when I started running the business for the owners, I had an option for 10% of the business. And in turning it around in those 2 years, I was able to execute that option. And that meant a lot to the lenders that the sweat and equity came into play, so to speak. And that helped out tremendously with the bankers and that deal moving forward. But you learn cash management very fast when you walk through a leverage buyout. So it was a very good lesson to learn early in my life.
So you're looking very closely at profit and loss statements on a monthly, weekly, daily basis, so to speak.
Absolutely.
When did you know it was going to be a success for you?
Well, I knew the opportunities in running the business for the family. I knew that, you know, you heard the statement, behind every successful person is a clue, find it. it also applies to the downside, what the prior management team and owners were doing with the business. And turning that operation around, I knew it would be successful from that point forward. But it had to grow, and it had to grow by way of acquisitions.
Interesting. I will tell the audience that I'm going to cite to my book, not that it's about me. The book is Quiet Plans, Exciting Results. But one of the quotes comes directly from Joe. And I will tell you, Joe was very helpful, very instrumental with my book by critiquing it and giving me some pointers. And I want to point out on page 23 of the book, I quoted you as saying, the team will carry you a very long way with your company. That you'd indicated the importance of having a great management team. How did you go about finding, establishing, creating that team? What were you looking for in the people that would help you with your business?
Well, it's all about people. And I guess on the, I'll call it the executive level, I searched by way of friendships in Kansas City. I brought together an advisory board, individuals I did not know before. So they had, so to speak, no skin in the game. If there was something out there that I was not looking at properly, they would freely tell you that. And there were business people, attorneys, investment bankers, et cetera. And that was a big help, because if we needed a certain individual, let's say at the executive level, they came up with names that they were in contact with. That helped out tremendously. So by way of that, we were able to put that team together. Some of which, one gentleman that was with me 6 months after I got the company, stayed with me through 35 years and is just retiring, and went all the way through on the financial side, all the way up to the president and CEO. Outside of that, in the management operations, we try to hire from within and promote from within. And for many years, that was successful. Individuals that were maybe just in the batch operations or drivers, we saw a talent there. We put them through a training program in maybe a couple of years and bring them up to a level of maybe running the plant. So hiring from within, training or promoting from within, I should say, was a key element also.
You indicated you needed to grow and grow fast. Share with us your experience, your plan on how you went about finding targets. I know that you're in a particular industry. You probably were very familiar with that industry or you became familiar. Share a little bit about your relationships there and the process that you used to expand your business, if you would.
Well, the Wilbert organization had 250 licenses throughout the United States and Canada. And we ended up owning, I think, about 45 or so rooftops, manufacturing plants. And with that, you go to all the district meetings, national meetings in the funeral cemetery industry. And the group, Wilbert Group itself, frequently had various types of training programs and meetings around the United States for their management. So we got to know these individuals. They were about 98% of them were privately held families that started. Entrepreneurs that started their businesses and grew. And like the one I acquired, many of them went through a single generation, maybe two. Some now have fourth generations that are involved.
Wow.
So we got to know them by way of just being active in the industry and the national organizations. And actually, you know, spending time with various committees within those. So we knew them personally. We knew their families personally.
And that gave you, I would think, an uncommon advantage anyway, compared to somebody that's coming in off the street and knows nothing about them. So you had a competitive advantage in the acquisition process?
Well, many of them were negotiated without other individuals involved. And at a point in time, there was tremendous trust in what we did by word of mouth on how we handled the acquisitions. And that gave them even a greater comp level. So it was easier to do it that fashion, yes.
Back then, I don't know, with regulations now, it's as easy. What were the great joys for you in doing acquisitions? I mean, was there any point that makes it enjoyable, meaningful, that, you know, frankly, you get a little bit of excitement or a buzz about it?
That's a good way to put it. There was a lot of excitement going on. A lot of the smaller operations that we acquired, they really had no idea how to go about selling the company. And personally, knowing them, their spouses, their family and all, they relied heavily on us to walk them through it. There were many occasions where we made it very clear that they should go consult an attorney, as you well know, to make certain things were structured properly. But they relied heavily on us to look at valuations. And we gave classes on valuation inside the organization. So if they wanted to acquire their neighbors, the industry, as cremation came into play, there were less and less concrete burial vaults manufactured. And that was a given. And we understood it. It was very clear that it would be headed in that direction. So those that never expanded their operations bought out a neighbor to consolidate manufacturing, which is a common theme in any industry. Okay. They sold. So we did a lot of acquisitions in terms of in clusters, so to speak. And we encouraged our other licensees in the United States to do the same. And by the way, we got bigger than the licensor, more diversified than the licensor, into the cemetery industry, into precast operations that we acquired the licensor.
In the funeral business, let's talk a little bit directly about Wilbert. Basically, anything to do with the funeral business, Wilbert is somehow involved, correct? There's not really much we don't do there.
Not since we acquired them. One of the challenges we had many years ago is we diversified knowing that we need to, let's say, bring more concrete into our operations to keep our gross margins in the burial vault side. Wilbert did not. So once we acquired them, we then went out and bought casket operations, monument operations. We manufactured fluids, and then we went into mortuary science schools. So to your point, Wilbert now does many other things inside the funeral industry.
So what I hear from this is at one point you were the minnow, and the minnow swallowed the whale and is now the whale. I mean, a licensee of a company winds up owning the company that does the licensing throughout the United States. That must have been, well, let me ask it this way. Was that a challenge in changing that role, putting on a kind of a different mindset? Now, instead of being one of the masses, you're helping all the individuals who were like you at one time, a licensee. Did that create a mind shift for you?
It didn't create a mind shift for us because we were already there in all the diversification that took place in the acquisitions. It was a challenge for the licensee network. It really changed the profile of how they operated. Some feared all of these new product lines they may have to be faced with manufacturing or selling. So it was more challenging to the other independent licensees. One other thing too, Dave, at that point in time, Wilbert had developed and invented a liner for the burial vaults back in the 60s, before my time. And they had to manufacture, set up their own thermoform and operations to do it. As those operations grew, and as I was chairman of Wilbert, even before I acquired it, we went into other fields from thermoforming to injection molding. And that operation became bigger than Wilbert. And early on, I separated those two companies because they had different needs, requirements, risk, capital to go forward. So then we created a second company that was as big as or bigger than Wilbert was in the funeral industry. So that was another major move that took place.
So what I'm hearing in the background is that you had a definitive plan on how to grow this. Was this a plan that you wrote down somewhere? And I'm going to have a follow-up question to that.
Hidden in my desk drawer is
really?
Two sheets of paper of what I had to do to go forward. Now, that plan never went as far as we did. But still, it was the basic concept of how I had to grow the company, where we could be within, I think it was like 15 years or something, and we exceeded that. I don't think anybody else has seen that.
Well, I would save that if I were you. Don't let anybody see it. That may be your secret sauce. How did you know to come up with a plan? I will say it for this reason, and I have complimented you before for this very reason. I don't know very many people that put down in writing the plan. I just don't. And without mentioning your name to some other people, I've referenced you because people say, how do I go forward? I said, you have to have a plan. It has to be in writing. It has to be measurable. So you can test it. You got to define years and you've got to define what the goal is. And I said, one of the guys I know did that. Now, I never asked you, how did you come by either the process, the inspiration, a mentor, whatever, to know that that was the way to go forward? Because I don't find it to be very usual, Joe, or very common.
I certainly didn't plan it out to the point where we're at now, whatever, 35 years after. And that plan develops, and you got to be willing to change it as you go forward. I mean, as we grew, we thought we are the number one burial vault operation in the United States and probably control 2/3 of the market. You've heard the story. You think getting to the top was difficult. Try stand there. and that was part of what we're challenged with Wilbert. And you're in a market when you're only a burial vault operation, and cremation may be down in the low teens, and it's built its way up to 65% now, I think, in the U.S., the plan has to be diversification. What we chose to do was stay within the funeral industry. There are some public companies out there that have put their monies in other operations for the benefit of the shareholders, but they had to go outside of the funeral industry. We didn't have that pressure on us, and our choice was that we would stay inside the funeral industry. Now, that being said, we're sizable in the precast operations, but that's solely for the concept of keeping concrete going through our operations to offset some of the fixed cost that's out there. So we went into precast to keep our burial vaults competitive. And that's worked. It's worked very well. But you have to constantly change the concept or tweak it as you go forward. Businesses change, you know, choices change within the funeral industry.
After 80 acquisitions, including this huge acquisition, what is the lesson learned from you? And let me back up a little bit and say it this way. What has allowed you to be able to withstand all the pressures, all the anxiety, the time, the money. What has been the driving force to get you to this point? Because a lot of people that I've known, worked for, clients, et cetera, this amount of longevity just doesn't exist, Joe. So there must be something about you that has propelled you for this length of time to be successful. It looks to me to be a marathon effort with a series of small sprints along the way. How do you evaluate yourself when it comes to this vast experience to get you to this end game that you're playing now?
I guess you've heard this other saying, it's not work when you enjoy what you do. Mm. And we've enjoyed what we've done all these years and the team that stayed with us. The executive level team are the individuals that shared ownership in the company as we grew. I mean, it was a pleasure doing it. And the success is always something that keeps pushing you forward. And staying at the top, we're number one in burial vaults. I think in the whole United States, we might be number three or four in caskets. We're number two in fluids. We're number one in our mortuary science schools. So bringing all those entities up to a higher level is, I take pleasure in that. And that keeps you going. It, you know, if it weren't for maybe, and you'll probably get into this, but my age and the fact that I have family members that have chosen other walks of life, which I'm elated that they're comfort in those levels. And you have to do what you love or you'll never succeed, that I'd still be in it. Mm-hmm. Because my wife would tell me I failed at retirement. She's probably right.
Let's talk about that, because this is a struggle in one of the chapters in the book I wrote about. It's tough, isn't it, to make the job from being a CEO, going nonstop 24/7, to going through the succession plan of leaving the business. What advice do you have for individuals who are either going through it presently or see that opportunity coming up? How are you dealing with it from your vantage point and all the excitement that you're going through? What is next, and how do you get to what's next?
Well, if you plan it properly, it's not like just jumping off a cliff. I mean, what I enjoy probably the most now is that I'm not at the same pace I was at before. Mm. And that's meaningful. But I was asked to stay on board as chairman of Wilbur Funeral Services, and I accepted that as long as I didn't have Anita to review 100 financial statements a month. So by that, I mean, I'm not in charge of the operations. And that keeps the mind going. And I guess in a lot of cases, they want the entrepreneur around for either namesake or their knowledge of the industry or their contacts. And that's typical. But I like being involved at that level. But if you plan it, I'm still chairman of PS Mortuary Colleges. I helped start up the National Funeral Service Museum. And I stay on their board of trustees. So the mind's active, and to some degree in the industry, I'm active. But you know, from a personal level, you have investments that you make. We started a foundation that Carol and I, my wife, we enjoy having the opportunity to help others, other organizations along, and reviewing those organizations for their needs. So it's not like it ended for me. It's just that walk of life and that pace changed. And no regrets there whatsoever.
You know, I was wanted to call this episode the evolutionary growth of the business, but it sounds like actually the evolutionary growth of Joe Sewer.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I mean, again, if you plan it properly, then you just don't come up to a dead end street and say, which way do I go? And two, I've become highly educated on investments and what to avoid.
Right.
Harvesting losses never was the terminology I'd used in my entire life, you know, but learned a lot. And of course, you go to the experts to learn that. And I don't consider myself one. So that's time consuming to stay on top of those items, too. So
I perceive you're Professor Joe Sewer. You've learned a lot. You didn't learn it from Harvard Business School, but you did learn it probably in a better, more meaningful way. So you know, your advice is surely something to be closely followed and understood. Along those lines, if you were in front of a class of individuals, okay, or maybe you're putting on some kind of continuing education, or maybe you're up there on the stage with Tony Robbins, okay, and if you were going to give 2 to 3 pieces of advice to someone thinking about business, going into business, going into first growing the business through M&A, what would you tell them to do? Just a couple of simple rules.
You've heard me use the term before. I stole it from Albert Bryant. Have a plan, work the plan, and plan for the unexpected.
Yes.
You know, and I guarantee you that unexpected aspect of it, if you plan for that, you'll survive. But I mean, tell the rule in business, never run out of cash. So then you're in deep trouble. But
right.
Well, yeah, I guess one thing is surround yourself with great people. Since day one, I had, I think I shared earlier, an advisory board. And all along the way, all the entities I've had or been involved with, selected individuals on the board that helped the company grow faster and avoid conflicts. And not just, Dave, attorneys always on the board. I mean, we've had that. But in the county field, I mean, on the mortuary sky schools, we've had individuals that went through embalming schools. Individuals from a legal perspective that were their entire career, they were over institutional law, I guess you'd say, that they brought that to the table. So seek out somebody that complements your organization, that challenges you, and that brings a certain knowledge to you that you lack. And never be afraid to hire somebody more intelligent than you are.
Ever.
Ever, ever. You know, it only helps you grow further and faster.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for your time and your insight. I think what I have learned today, if I could give a quick commentary, and Joe, I learned a couple things today. First of all, I think I should call you Professor Joe Sewer from now on. I think what the listeners can take away from is, first of all, get on the website and go look up Nick Saban's quote, because I think it's a good one. It's one that you've lived about putting together the plan to work, work to plan, and prepare for the unexpected. That is unbelievably insightful. Being able to become educated, grow and evolve and have very good people around you and continue to seek out those opportunities and wisdom that allow you to achieve the goals that you're looking for. What is next for you professionally and personally?
Well, I guess I'm doing it now.
Yes.
Still helping out within the industry. Just helping them achieve their goals inside the company and the other entities that we're involved with, and gifting to the various entities, mostly in this market, in the regional market. There's tremendous needs out there, and it's a pleasure when you have the opportunity financially to help out. So we spend more and more time on that, both Carol and I. But I don't think I'll be in any level of ownership of operations. I'd rather invest from a distance, and that's good enough. So happy in the place I'm in. I'm fortunate.
Great. Well, thanks again, Joe, and I want to thank you for spending time with us. If you want to learn more about Wilbert Funeral Services, your website is www.wilbert.com. Everything and everything you would ever need to know about the funeral industry is there available to you. There are representatives that are easy to reach out to get information. You'll find an information also about Joe on the website. If you would, I also know over the years that you've had some experience in dealing with some very significant, influential, powerful, elected people. How have you helped some of those people over the year? I think that's a giving that not very many people know about you and about Wilbert.
You're referring to those that we've interred or buried over the years?
Yes, that you can mention. Some you can't, obviously.
Well, they're high profile. I guess it really started a number of years ago with President Reagan.
Right.
And that we stepped in. A good friend of mine helped start the organization LHT, Love, Honor, Trust. And they, I'll use the term, specialize in high profile funerals. And you can't get much higher than a president when you're dealing with Washington, the funeral homes, and then the libraries that are involved. And it's very challenging, very difficult, but we were called upon by that group when there's certainly in-ground burial, and because of some of my experience in above-ground burial, to help set up some of the sites and actually participate in funeral arrangements with them. So we've done many individuals throughout the United States and international sometimes, and helping make those arrangements. One thing I'd like to mention, since you brought that up too, the Wilbert organization has, for a number of years, we bury all policemen, firemen, and EMTs that die in the line of duty. We provide all of our products for free to those families throughout the United States and Canada. And I think I'm very proud of the organization. We do it as an organization, and all 100% of our licensees participate in that endeavor. And it's rewarding to see how the families, to us, in what we do. It's quite a moment.
Well, there you have it. It's Ilya Massonary, that is a charitable. I'm sorry, I had to throw in one legal word or some kind of a big word. My apologies. As well as being very successful in growing people, growing the business, and becoming such a noted leader in the industry. It is an accomplishment that is not equaled by very many people, and I thank you for your time today. If y'all, again, are in search and want to know more about Wilbert and about Joe, please visit wilbert.com. There's a lot of information that can be of value, frankly, for everyone's family, and it's worth a look at it. I want to share with you that if you're in search of assistance concerning any of the topics that we've talked about today, or for many of my other speakers, I'd ask you to go to davidsider.com, and I would be happy to schedule a free consultation with you. Also, make sure, if you would, to subscribe to the show, rate it, leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platforms such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you, Joe, so much for your time. You've been more than gracious and, frankly, an inspiration, Joe Sewer. So thank you again, Joe. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave.
By way of disclosure, I also have to tell the audience that this podcast is provided for educational purposes and does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances. Look forward to hearing from everyone concerning this podcast, and please stay tuned to more of our podcasts coming down in the future. And to all, until we meet again, have a good day.